righty. Well, let's see if I can get the other foot in the grave. Okay. Where am I? See, this is Bible class, right? Okay. All right. Once again, you should have your Bibles open in Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. And we're dealing with, I think, some very important issues as to why the third and the fourth probing question are so critical for us to be able to really perceive deeply what they're going after and have clarity in what they're going after, because the terminology of who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So much in that terminology can take you into areas of, as I said, thinking that we're recapping being justified or recapping sanctification as far as our walking consistent who God has made us to be in Christ. That's not hitting the bullseye of what this thing is going after. It's going after the time in which you get to actually use the information you get in the curriculum. And there's some things I say that get us off track, I think, that way a little bit. And I just, like I said, since I'm so imperfect, that I say things that just tend to, I guess, cause problems. One of which is using that term curriculum all the time. Because we're not even in the curriculum yet. That doesn't actually begin until we get to chapter 12. We're in sonship establishment. But our Father is alerting us in advance to every source in these five questions, every source of problems you'll ever have. It's not just that you could think of. These actually are the fountainhead sources of every snag, hindrance, stumbling block, and problem you will ever have as a son or daughter of your Heavenly Father. They all come down to these five issues and these five probing questions. When you want to deal with its source, I know we could deal with a myriad of actual technical details. But what he's wanting to do is alert you ahead of time to the strength and the power and the wisdom that went into this curriculum to deal with them all. And that gets it down to just one issue of even possible failure in this thing. And I've told you what it is, and you know what it is. I won't mention it now because it's coming up. But as I said in our last session, when a son, for selfish, fleshly, or just outright dumb reasons, takes information and doesn't take it seriously and doesn't apply it or doesn't utilize it, doesn't make sure when he begins to take information out of the environment he's been taught it and use it in other environments, he hasn't actually gone to his father about it, he hasn't had his heart searched about it. I'm beginning to realize as I'm saying this that it's almost like you almost are demanding that I have some kind of illustration for it. And I'm trying to come up with one without damaging things or without missing the mark myself in the illustration. But some of it is actually the failure to use it. Not just improperly using it, but I didn't use it when I should have. And there's going to be things that we're going to be taught right off the bat, for instance, in Romans 12 about one another here in this local assembly and how we are to view one another. And it comes to a point where, as I said at the break, my zeal and my zest and my enthusiasm for being a son and for crying Abba Father and wanting to succeed in my sonship life, I'm going to have information that so effectually works within me that that exact no less a degree, that exact zeal and exact enthusiasm and exact cry of Abba Father is for you. I want you to succeed just as badly as I want me to succeed. And I actually get to practice on you. I get to love you in a godly manner that will have your best interest in my mind. And when I realize that I've taken information and stomped on that best interest and done things that have, maybe it's, and this is an illustration, maybe it's thrown a stumbling block in your way, and how dumb, what a dumb thing to do that was. And now I'm not just dealing with breaking a glass, that you can go out and fix the stupid thing, or you can go out and buy another thing. I've touched a soul. I've touched a heart. I've done something to someone by my dumb use or lack of use of my Father's wisdom. Now, that's just an illustration. That's trying to give you some hook to hang some things on. But what I'm after is that it's going after the, as I said, the living and working out of the details in your life of its application, of the word, of the sonship curriculum's application, and we either fail to respond as I should. Maybe it's responding to a need. Maybe it's responding to an office. Because over there, later on in Romans, we're going to learn that there's offices today that need to be fulfilled. Not spiritual gifts that God comes along and says, I'm going to make you a pastor even though I know you'd hate it. And I'm going to give you the gift of helps even though I know you don't like anybody and you don't want to help anybody. And I'm going to give you the gift of exhortation just because I know that you haven't got a nice thing to say to anybody. And this idea that God just shoves spiritual gifts on us without us, that's totally inconsistent with sons who have the freedom to decide for themselves. So there's going to be offices that need to be... This assembly hasn't functioned right yet. And I don't say that to your criticism or to mine. I'm just saying that because there are functions to really get the assembly to function as the divine institution that God intended it to be the training grounds for the Son's life, and to be the pillar and ground of the truth. We're going to begin learning right off the bat how those things begin happening. Where real mutual edifying's taking place. And I'm not saying any of that to your chagrin or your being critical of you in any way. It's just the nature of where we are right now. But when those opportunities we've either failed to respond to like we ought, or we've failed to actively apply something like we ought, or make use to the fullest degree of something that we were taught to make use of and educated to do, and deal with things like that and so forth, when we recognize that I was my own worst enemy, and I blew it. It's not like umpiring a ball game where you blow a call and so what. This could have eternal ramifications. And when those times happen, in that proper scenario that I've been awkwardly trying to describe, the inner man, an individual, his experience can be easily crushed. And spiritual devastation can take place. And when that does take place, that is, It is, and it has the potential for being a disaster to us as sons. Because if we don't respond to the, we realize if we don't respond to the information properly, and we don't respond to the remedies for when we can be charged, and that's why I said these aren't false charges that just bounce off of me. Oh, this idiot's going to charge me for this. This isn't the charge of some numbskull Christian who says you're a bad person, you're a bad Christian because you don't believe in miracles. No, that's just a moron. That doesn't know the Bible from the dictionary. They have no more understanding of the Bible than they have of trigonometry or something like that. To put it in my vernacular, some of you probably know trigonometry real well. This is a real charge. Understand that. This is a charge, and the one who's charging is you. You've charged yourself. You've recognized that I can be absolutely, rightly, justly charged as a failure as a son. Because I've made such a botched up mess of the use of that information. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Because this has spread. This has gone beyond just my inner man and my own self. This now has touched other lives. What am I going to do? Quit? It is God that justifies. And you may, again, I'm not going to explain that right now, but there's a remedy for that. And if you don't respond to it with that remedy, and the biggie here, I mean the big one, isn't that one. The big one is that Christ, who died, yea, rather is risen at the right hand of God, maketh intercession for me. That's the big one that you're going to grab onto and hold as tightly to as you would a lifeline in the middle of a hurricane when the Coast Guard has come to pick you up. It's the lifeline that won't allow your inner man to be destroyed and devastated by you being your own worst enemy. And you'll come to see that before we get done. I won't move. I won't move to the last probing question until you see, every one of you see that. Because, as I said, if you don't respond properly by the information you're given here to respond to, and by properly, I mean respond to it by each one of those remedies that our Father gives us here in these two probing questions. If we don't respond to that properly, we will follow a course where we're not going to shoot ourselves in the foot. We'll shoot ourselves in the head. It will be fatal to your sonship life. And it'll cause real problems, far more serious problems than I think you really are aware of. Or far more serious problems than I think maybe you've ever thought about until now. In fact, you should, haven't I told you, if I can remember right, which may not be happening, but haven't I told you in the past that you ought to have a couple of lines of reading going on? You know, some people have asked me about reading the Bible. Should I read the Bible through? Sure, go ahead and read it through. But you ought to be taking, for one thing, one of the lines you ought to be having is Romans 8, 28 through 39. You ought to be reading that sucker over and over and over and over and over and over. But you ought to also have a line of reading out to where you are constantly cycling through Paul's epistles. Just constant cycle through them. And by the way, you can have a bunch of fun doing that, because you can really start seeing sonship issues pop off the page as you start getting more and more familiar with it. But if you've been reading those epistles of the Apostle Paul, you should be familiar enough already with some things that occur later on in the curriculum, once you get past the book of Romans, that under the umbrella of problems that can occur in a son's life, certain problems can occur that make it so that a son is devastated and can get crushed, even to the point where, as the Apostle Paul says, he'll come along and talk about one being swallowed up with overmuch sorrow for what he's done. That's what I'm talking about, the heart that can be crushed by that, being swallowed up with overmuch sorrow because he's screwed up so badly. It's almost like, how could I possibly move on as a son after doing that? You can see it, even though it's an entirely different, I know it's a different context, but you can see it in the parable of the prodigal son. When he comes to his dad, what did he do just before he came to his dad? Do you remember? No. Before he ever came to his dad, how did he figure he was going to come back? He wrote a little speech. He wrote his little speech. Father, I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. And then he starts giving, if you just treat me like one of the hired help. And I love that when his father sees him, he runs to him, and he gets one line of his little pre-prepared speech out, and his father shuts him up. Father, I am no longer worthy to be your son. And before he can say any more of his little prepared speech, his father says, call for the fatted calf and kill it. Get a robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. My son was lost, and now he's found. That's the attitude. That's what your father has done. You're never going to be in a position that you could be your own worst enemy. So bad that this book hasn't prepared for it. I know, because I am one. And I know I will be in the future. You have no idea what a human heart can go through when it knows it's made a mess out of what my father's given me. And if it was any other father, it would have all been over. But not with him. I didn't have that written down. And to use more modern terminology, Dr. Phil terminology, we need a moment of levity, don't we? You could get thrown into a state of absolute depression because of your failures in this area. And depression that is of a nature that you would say, I just can't go on. And in light of how much I botched up this and made a mess of things, I shouldn't go on. You could say that to yourself. And those are some of the kind of things that can take place when we as sons start functioning as our own worst enemies. Hang on just a minute. I'm going to wind. Oh, that's great. I have one Kleenex. But that will do. Now, the only thing that can snap you out of that and or prevent you from going down into the blackest abyss of this depression and despondency that you can end up going into is the issue concerning your judicial standing in sight of, in God's sight. And it's understanding your judicial stand in your Father's sight with respect to your sonship. Not just, I am justified in His sight as a Christian. I am justified in His sight no matter what as His son. And the provision is there, and not only in the provision is the provision there, but even more importantly, when you get the remedy, let's not even think about what it is for a moment. Why in the world do you get two questions at the beginning, no remedy, and then suddenly when it starts dealing with you as your own worst enemy, you get remedies for it? What do you think your Father expects? He expects you to use the remedy. The expectation of the Father is that you use that, and it will snap you out of that despondency and the abyss of depression. And the expectation is there from Him because He gave it to you. He didn't just let you answer that question. He gave you the answer. And by giving it to you, the expectation is that you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you get going again. Don't underestimate my curriculum. That's not going to cause you to fail. You're still not going to fail, even though you've done that. And that's the kind of stuff verses 33 and 34 are dealing with. And that's what those words that are used in those two probing questions with respect to ourselves being our own worst enemy are designed to do. They're designed to bring that kind of realization to our realization, to bring that kind of realization to our mind. And I've tried tonight to be very careful in how I'm presenting all of this to you, because you hopefully it's gotten across. I don't know what else I could have done or said. You can't take any of these questions lightly. You have to allow them to bore in on you and do their surgical job of laying bare your heart. That's not a fun thing to go through, I know, but it's needful, and bring to your attention just what's in there, or even what potentially can be there that can trip you up and trip you up in ways that you may not even be aware of until that scalpel or that probe has touched on something. Ah, there it is. Got a response. It touched on something that opened your eyes, so to speak, to the kind of problem you yourself can be in standing in the way of the success of this education. And you should now have, maybe, hopefully, a newfound respect for how you're to keep these questions and now the remedies for the questions within those parameters they're supposed to be kept in, so that when you think about them and when you spend time with them, your mind and your thinking will be taken into the very area in your heart where the sources of the problems with succeeding in your sonship life can occur and will occur. And that takes time. And it takes careful thought. Because sometimes it's very difficult to get the full extent of the thinking that we need to have in connection with ourselves being our own worst enemies as sons. Because sometimes we don't want to be honestly analytical as we need to be with ourselves when it comes to being our own worst enemy. You know, it's one thing to acknowledge the fact that this is true, I could be my own worst enemy. But it's another thing to acknowledge just how disgustingly true that can be. But the great thing here is that we are, at this final stage in our sonship establishment, we are given in advance the provision to do that kind of honest analysis. It is God that justifies, Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession. We have the information provided for us to do that kind of an honest analysis, and it gives us, therefore, you may not see this now, but when we get through the details of it, you will. It gives us, therefore, the ability to, once we, when we start that curriculum down there in Romans 12, and do end up, at times, failing to make full use of what we're being given, and we get into this situation or mode of botching up and making a mess of things sometimes, and our great zeal, you can do that with so much enthusiasm. You can be so enthusiastically screwed up. Our great enthusiasm meets, when that enthusiasm we have that we want to succeed meets up, hits like loggerheads, the fact that we've oftentimes are standing in our own way for our success and impeding ourselves, and as it were become ones who, this is an expression Paul will use, who oppose themselves. Well, when genuine heartfelt zeal confronts being an opposer of our own self, man, that can be heart-wrenching. And it can be dejecting and a despondent, discouraging experience that can actually lead to even more serious things. It's really the beginning down a road of even more serious things. The kind of things being our own worst enemy can do is devastating. It can produce great discouragement, which can in turn produce, well, if you're discouraged, what do you think some of the connecting ramifications of that are? You should be able to come up with some. If it's that kind of discouragement and depression and despondency that takes place, what does that lead to? You walk away. That's right. What else? What? You don't keep learning. Right. Think about your establishment. What was the first attitude as it ended that was developed within you? Yeah, commitment, but I'm looking for a word that's there in your Bible. At the very end of the first section of Sonship Establishment, Romans 8, 16 through 25. What does 24 and 25 deal with? Patience, you're there. Hope. You lose hope. When somebody's discouraged and despondent and depressed, they've lost hope. You can lose confidence, all that. Here's one that you may not understand right now, but you will. You can lose courage. And a whole bunch of things like that. Therefore, these two probing questions, they are powerful. You may not see it yet, but you'll come to appreciate it, I'm sure. Concerning us being our own worst enemy, they are the two, I think, now this is my opinion, so you can take it or leave it, probably better leave it, but they are, to me, they are two of the most powerful questions you've ever been confronted with in your life up to this point. Especially as a believer in Christ, they're the two most powerful questions your human heart, that will come to bear on your human heart up to this point. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? They're designed to make us appreciate in connection with that deep understanding of just how disgustingly true it is that we are our own worst enemy. In fact, look in the mirror, because you'll be looking at the worst enemy you'll ever face as a son, is yourself. But not only that, but to make us appreciate in connection with that, the relief of it all is there's answers to it. Our Father has made provision for even that. And the expectation of Him, He knows, all right, you screwed that all up. I don't get, you know, and sometimes you have to have these. I'll tell you, if you haven't experienced it, you will. If you've had children, you'll experience it when they get older. It's not just a thing of childhood, it's a thing of adulthood. All right, you never stop being a parent. Well, I screwed this all up. I had the freedom and the ability to do this, that, and other thing, but I messed this all up, Dad. What do I do now? But your Heavenly Father can come to you as an adult son and in the face of that say, I've expected that. I expected this was going to be the case. And I've made a provision so that you won't fail. And our Father, we find, provided for it. And His expectation of us is that He wants us to get up from right where we are and get going again. There's no reason, when you understand what I've done and put into this curriculum, I've justified you, Christ has made intercession for you, get up and get going. No reason. That's, you know, but you don't know, I know what you did. But it won't ruin your success. It won't. It may seem like it to you, but it won't. And what I'm saying is, our Father has designed this curriculum to succeed with us even in the face of such failures as us being our own worst enemy. To put it slowly, I like, somebody said that once to me. They had to fess up on something. They had, I don't know, got caught in a lie or something. I can't remember what it was right now, but I always remember the expression. He said, yeah, I had to say it, but I said it slowly. And that wasn't in a movie, but I'm going to say this slowly because this is the kick to this whole thing. Our Father, what He's wanting us to understand in those two questions and their remedies, their answers, that He has designed in advance for His own Son's failure. That's amazing. When you sing Amazing Grace the next time, you think of it in light of that. This thing that I hold in my hand, this curriculum, has within it my Father. He designed in advance for my own failure. And He's designed for those failures not to be a devastating thing. Something that so overwhelms you that it becomes the fatal blow to your sonship life. In fact, to me, just let that sink in for a moment. Again, to go to Steve's excellent question he asked so many months ago. What makes this education different than all other educations? Show me a curriculum in math or science or biology. Did you see Grandpa? They found Granddad. The scientists found Grandpa. All of our grandpas, you know, our ancestor with the big long tail and the thing that looks like a dinosaur. Grandpa. Brother, what idiots. Geology, archaeology, paleontology. Show me any other study or course of curriculum that has designed and provided for your own failure in it. No. They're cold and rigid. You pass, you fail. You screw up, sorry, you get the mark. Our Father has designed a curriculum so well for you to succeed, it took into consideration that you would be your own worst enemy and provided for your failures to not devastate you and not be a fatal blow to your sonship life. In fact, if you ever had any real deep appreciation for the advocacy of our Lord Jesus Christ, like verse 34 talks about, if you never had that, rather, you will. Because this is what will do it for you. His advocacy, when you have those failures, where being charged, you do get the idea, and you should properly get the idea, being charged is a little bit different than being condemned. Which is the more serious? Condemned. But guess who stands up for you? Jesus Christ Himself. In short, our fathers designed this education so that even you and I can't stand in the way of its success. Unless we just simply abandon what He's provided for. That's the only way you'll ever fail, is if you just abandon it. Because if we'll operate upon what He provided, even ourselves, as our own worst enemy, can't stop succeeding with our sonship education and sonship life. But some of these things are matters of experience. And I just say this in closing. Some of these are matters of experience. The reason I got emotional, and you didn't, of course, is because, and that's right, but you don't know from whence I'm talking. You don't know my experience. And I'm going to say this as a kind of caveat to all of this so that you're not going away thinking, well, gee, maybe I should get all emotional about it. Listen, some of these things, I have to admit, are matters of experience. And when you do experience them, nothing else in your life is going to attempt to tear up your heart like these matters. Because you have come to love this. And you don't want to intentionally do something to tear up the love of your life. But when you do have those problems and you do encounter these things, they can break you down. And in ways I can't even describe for you, they can reduce you to tears. And heartache. Like you can't even imagine right now. But that's when you really appreciate, when that happens, that you can come back to these answers. The answer of verse 33 and the answer of verse 34. And thank the Lord that there's no provision put on it of how many times you can come back to Him. And you can draw out of that well over and over and over and never run out of the ability to have them do their effectual work when you've become your own worst enemy. And that advocacy of Christ will become the most precious thing in your life, because you never would have gone one more step in your sonship life without that advocacy. You'd have thrown in the towel, given up on the whole thing, except for Him making intercession for you. The truth is, you may not be able to go much more beyond that than what I've just described to you right now in your own mind. I understand that. But I had to say something to try to get across to you the depth and the gravity of what you're being presented with here. And the time will come when you're going to have to operate on these things that you're being told here to their fullest degree. Well, that's about all I have to say about that. On Sunday, there's something else structurally with these two verses that nobody has brought to my attention yet. That's interesting because it's funny how it sits there. Isn't it funny? And this happens to me all the time. It sits there right under your nose. I haven't said anything about it, but it's sitting there staring you in the face every Bible class, and nobody has ever said a word to me about it. But there's something else peculiar about these two questions. And you have, I mean have to know, why those peculiarities are there before we can really even deal with the details of it. And on Sunday, I'm going to bring that out. I guess I'm not going to tell you what it is tonight. I'm going to let you see if you can see it. It's real simple. But it's just interesting that nobody said anything about it. But there's a reason for every word of this and the way it's worded. But we'll deal with that on Sunday. And I just preview coming attractions. We need to nail that down for sure so that we really appreciate how powerful these two questions are. They are just amazing what they can do. Well, anyway, I've had it. So what we'll do is we'll stop right there, and hopefully I haven't made a mess of all this. But when it comes to having to deal with yourself as your own worst enemy, even God, our Father, designed in advance for that, and He made provision for it. So there's no reason. You ought to go out of here tonight with a newfound respect for the confidence you can have in the words that your Father has given you. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank You for this time together this evening. We thank You for the appreciation of some very powerful issues that are designed to cut deeply into our heart. And we know that we are, with all honesty, our own worst enemy when it comes to so many things. And we know that this is a potential that is going to nag us, and yet You have given us remedy for it and made provision for it so that we can relax, we can enjoy, and we can keep our enthusiasm to the degree so that we can continue that cry of Abba Father and just all the more be established concretely into the confidence and commitment of our sonship life, that nothing can thwart this thing, not even ourselves. We appreciate so much for Your thoughtfulness and wisdom and genius to go into all of these things, that we marvel at the book we hold in our hand. It is a work, a miraculous work. It is the most powerful thing on this earth. We just thank You, Father, for its openness to us and its availability to us, and for us to be able to have a spirit in which can lead us through this curriculum. We pray that we continue to understand and appreciate these things as we take time with You on them and roll these over in our minds and hearts and allow them to do their effectual work so that we might stand perfected in our sonship establishment at the end of it all. We pray these things are true as Your word effectually works within us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.